Hi, I'm Rob, and I'm here with Kate.
Hi.
Welcome to the Backseat Imagineering Podcast. We are two lifelong Disney fans who love to share our opinions, experiences, and insights about all things Disney with you.
Plus, we're both teachers, so we love to talk.
This is our first episode of the Backseat Imagineering Podcast, and so I want to do a few shout-outs first, just right off the bat. My first podcast was from the Diz Unplugged, so a big shout-out to the people over there and the great job they're doing. Lou Mangiello at WDW Radio is a legend. His podcast is amazing, so check that out too. I also want to say thank you to Connie and Bruce at Unlocking the Magic. Their podcast really inspired us, and they gave us the motivation to just do this. Finally, I want to thank Kevin Pete at the Two Men and the Mouse podcast. They have also been a huge inspiration. So check out all those podcasts. You won't be disappointed. They're awesome. All right, so big news this week. The biggest news right now is still COVID-19 and the question of when we're all going to get back to the parks. Kate and I, we had a vacation planned and then we had to cancel it. And then we replanned it for later in the summer and we had to cancel it again. You just dying to go?
I am, but I think we really differ in our style here. You want to go, so you love to think about all things Disney and like, hey, let's make a Disney podcast. And I just kind of want to pretend Disney doesn't exist until we actually can think about a real vacation coming up.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely right. If I can just bury myself in all things Disney, it feels as close as I can get to actually being there. As opposed to you, who would just be more comfortable of like, I will think about that when the trip is actually on the horizon.
Yeah, I mean, after telling a 2-year-old that we were going to go to Disneyland in like 3 days and now we're not, I don't want to get my hopes up for anything until it can really be a reality.
So here's our first tip of the podcast. If there's a global pandemic, don't at any point promise your 2-year-old you're going to go to Disney World. Because it might not happen, and that's a disaster. Okay, when we do get to go back, what's the first thing you're looking forward to doing?
I think just being there. I'm a little bit like you in this, that no single attraction is going to top just the pleasure of feeling like we're there. One, I mean, because I've always loved it, but two, just I think that'll really feel like normal again.
Yeah. Is there one park in particular that you're like, that's the park I want to enter first when I get back?
You know, I'm usually not a Magic Kingdom person, but maybe after our last trip going with our daughter, I think I feel more of the magic in the Magic Kingdom than I used to.
Yeah. And I think if it were just me, I'd say Epcot, but the Magic Kingdom through her eyes is mm-hmm. so magical still right now that I agree with you. Going to the Magic Kingdom first and foremost is going to be my priority too. All right, you ready for my interesting tidbit?
This is the price I have to pay to actually have a conversation with my husband.
That's right. This is the entrance fee. This is what it costs. So I just picked up a great book. It's called, I'm going to read the title because it's a little bit long, The Star Wars Galaxy's Edge Traveler's Guide to Batuu. It's great. It's an in-world travel guide written as if you're actually traveling among the planets and worlds of Star Wars. It's written by Cole Horton, but in his book, they don't even put his name. They put Elok Trano, which is an anagram of the letters in his name. So it's really fascinating. It's fun. It's immersive. If you're going to go visit Galaxy's Edge or you're going to have some kids who are emerging readers and they're going to go visit Galaxy's Edge, it's a great way to both learn about the new area of Disney World and Disneyland and also get into character for your next trip. So I really, really recommend it. And just so you know, we're never going to promote or recommend anything on this show that we haven't ourselves experienced or someone very close to us has experienced and given a really rave review for. So I can just say, fun book, great read, good for young adults or adults like me who are just kids and want to get into Galaxy's Edge. So give it a look. Okay, so this is my favorite segment because I named it and I feel really proud of its name, Pass or Fast Pass. And the idea of this is just a quick review. Each topic we bring up, we're going to say we would pass on it or we would get a fast pass, like we really want to go do it. We're going to talk about topics, products, shows, movies, hotel, restaurant, anything. And the one I wanted to start with is Bay Lake Tower, which I know you feel like we could do a whole show on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So this is our most recent stay when we went to Disney World was Bay Lake Tower. So I'll let you start. What would you say? Pass or fast pass?
Absolutely fast pass. And I mean, it's a great place to stay all around, but particularly for our situation, going with a very young child. She was like, what, 19 months when mm-hmm. we went, something like that. It's so easy to get to the Magic Kingdom. And there's also so much to do there. So if you're going with just a couple and children, one person can stay in the room during nap time. And the other person feels like they're really in Disney World and not just stuck at the hotel.
Yeah, that's a really good point. How much there is there at the Contemporary when you go to that concourse and there's shopping and there's food. There's an arcade. You even got to play with one of our nieces, Guitar Hero. So,
mm-hmm. And just the moment Rob was with our daughter for nap time and I got myself a fancy Disney World cupcake and I sat outside looking at the castle underneath where the monorail goes into the building. And it was just such a great quiet moment in Disney World.
And the magic really can be found in those moments like mm-hmm. outside attractions, outside anything else, just the ambiance of the place. Yeah, you can't do that anywhere but the Contemporary. Yeah, I'm also going to say fast pass. We did a multi-generational trip. So there were people who, you know, our parents were there. We had our daughter. And getting in and out of the park can be so hectic with strollers and everything else, getting on and off the monorail. Being able to just go to the lobby of our hotel and walk over to the Magic Kingdom made such a difference. So not only do you feel like you're right there in the magic, being in the hotel itself, but getting into the parks, Magic Kingdom particularly, was really, really easy. And I do want to say this, because I think mm-hmm. the Bay Lake Tower gets a bad rap for not being themed.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely themed. It's a very contemporary resort. There is Mickey Mouse, lots of places. Now, it's not cartoony. It's not like the Art of Animation or something like that. Mm-hmm. But it's definitely themed. And I don't know about you, but I felt like I was still in the magic.
Yeah. And I feel like you really enjoy the theme, if there's a bigger theme, for like the first 15, 20 minutes, to be generous, you get there. And then for the rest of the trip, if you're stuck, I mean, we also really liked French Quarter. But you feel like you're out of the way. You know, when you're at the hotel, you are not in the parks. And even though the theme is maybe a little bit more interesting, exciting there, it's not on the balance. It's not worth what you're giving up by not being at the Contemporary.
Yeah. So we both fast pass Bay Lake Tower. If you get a chance to stay there, highly, highly recommend it. All right, so now it's time for our main feature on Backseat Imagineering. This is where Kate and I are going to look at certain topics and talk about how we would have maybe done something or maybe how we would retheme something. I always wanted to be an Imagineer. I think it seems like one of the neatest jobs in the world. And so I'm always thinking when I'm at Disney, like, what else could be done or what could they do with this intellectual property? What could they do with this ride? How about you? Did you want to be an Imagineer?
I wanted to be an animator. The main barrier to that was that I can't draw and also that nobody draws anymore. So, I mean, that's really a broken dream of mine. But yeah. I was more into the filmmaking side with the animation than the ride design as a child. But it's definitely interesting.
So here's our opportunity to be either a backseat Imagineer or animator and comment on some things we think about Disney. So our first topic for this episode is underrated attractions which have been closed but should be brought back. Now I've written my list and you have some ideas, right?
Yeah, I have one extra underrated option to add.
So we have an extra underrated. That's a special one for us. I'll start off. My first one is Horizons, one of my all-time favorite rides. It's the If You Can Dream It, You Can Do It. Imagineer Tom Fitzgerald, actually that's his quote. Even though it's like commonly attributed to Walt Disney, that was Tom Fitzgerald, and that was his ride. And it was really built as a sequel to Spaceship Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And now that it's gone, I feel like Spaceship Earth doesn't have its sequel anymore. We do a lot in Future World that has to do with the present and the past, but that element of what's going to happen next is sort of missing. And I mm-hmm. feel like that's so much of what Future World was about and what the spirit of Epcot Future World was about, that idea of human invention, human innovation, progress, what's next on our horizon. So literally, right? So I think bring it back and call it, ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
New Horizons, right? It's got all of the potential of the original Horizons with some new imagineering and a real look towards the future of human beings. And that's something that, to me, never goes out of style. It's never going to be outdated. We're always going to be looking to the future because that's so much what Epcot Future World is about.
I mean, that was definitely what Walt Disney was about. As a cynical English professor, I'm not sure if I can 100% get behind the, you know, carousel of progress, you know, more technology thing. I mean, I like the ride. It was fun. If they brought it back, I'd gladly ride it with you and enjoy your enjoyment of it. But, you know, I just don't know about the idea of new technology is better. I mean, it might be better, but, you know, thinking about Thoreau's Walden, like, is it better? Is it really going to make us happier? So that's not necessarily a theme I want more of in Disney World, even though I do recognize that it was very much Walt Disney's thing.
So you come more from the Jurassic Park camp.
Yeah, just because they could, they didn't stop to think that they should.
Yeah, all right.
I once had a student swear that quote was Einstein. Yeah. It's like, oh, no, buddy, I'm pretty sure that's Jurassic Park.
Yeah. Sorry, wrong park. Jurassic Park is actually a Universal property, but okay, I get that. I mean, that's definitely true. I think within the confines of Future World, though, I think they do definitely need something that answers Spaceship Earth's idea of this is the past of humanity, mm-hmm. And the question is what's next. And I feel like that, in some ways, Future World has lost a little bit of its vision. And I honestly draw that line all the way back to Horizons and saying, well, when that went away and Spaceship Earth didn't have its sequel anymore, that Future World started to lose its shape a little bit and mm-hmm. its vision. And I think that that's something that they need to think. And maybe they are, and they're going to be doing some things with Epcot. Maybe they are going to reinvigorate that spirit into the Future World.
Maybe I'm conflating Future World and Tomorrowland here.
Okay.
But I think there's a really interesting element in Disney World today, how the future is the future of the past, and it's part of the nostalgia that originally like just belonged to Main Street. Like, oh, wouldn't it be great to live in an America where we could just sing There's a Great Big Beautiful Tomorrow and think about progress as an infinite good and progression. So I feel like in a way, and maybe this is what you love about Horizons too, that it wouldn't be the same without the nostalgia of the future that we feel like we were promised and we never really got.
That's interesting. Almost like a current actual steampunk version of like tomorrow.
Yeah, like, yeah, exactly.
Like this is actually what we thought tomorrow was going to look like the Victorians thought the future was going to look like.
Yeah. It's like, where's my rocket pack? All I have is a global pandemic and global warming and, you know.
That's a whole nother podcast. Yeah. Where's my jet pack? All I have is a pandemic. All right, I'm going to move on to number two. And I'm just realizing now as I'm looking at this list that they are all from Epcot Future World. So if you haven't already figured out, my favorite park is Epcot, and my favorite part of that park is probably Future World. I love that area. This is one of my favorite attractions, and I really think they did it a disservice when they started making changes, and that's the Journey into Imagination. It had great intellectual property. Figment, I think, is one of the best park-specific characters that Disney has ever made. It didn't come from a movie. It's not from a book. It's park-specific, and that is so rare in Disney parks today, and I think one of the most magical things that they do. It had an original Sherman Brothers song, One Little Spark, which also fantastic, and is still a little bit in the ride, but you actually don't hear the original version of the song in the ride anymore because the original version of the song had Dreamfinder in mm-hmm. it. So you don't hear that version anymore, and I just think that's such a shame. So for me, I think they need to bring that back. I think they need to look at the original version of the ride with Dreamfinder and go back in that direction. That would make a huge difference for me. What do you think? Is it better now or was it better before?
No, I think it was better before. And watching that Imagineering show, the docuseries on Disney+.
Plug for that too, by the way. That's amazing.
Yeah, it seems like the remake of Imagination came out of the era where they weren't really doing things right in the parks. They mm-hmm. were cutting corners and, you know, it just didn't have the same magic that I think older and newer attractions have.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Like, they'd cut down on the Imagineering part of the Disney empire, and that, and you saw it in some of their attractions. In fact, they redid Journey into Imagination without Figment originally, which was such a mistake that they ended up sort of plugging him back in. And it doesn't, I don't think it works as well these days. Mm-hmm. Plus you get sprayed with skunk and nobody wants that. Like, why do you have that? Okay, my last one is obscure, and I don't think it's as obscure as you're going to go, but my last one's obscure. It's Cranium Command. This was a family favorite for my family when we mm-hmm. were young. The jokes...
Mine too.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, so the jokes made us laugh. We would retell them to each other all the time, and that's very much my family. Like, we would, when we get a joke, we would retell it all the time whenever an opportunity came up, and we still, to this day, you know, where do you think you are? Disney World? Mm-hmm. You know, that's a line from Cranium Command, and we still share that among ourselves today. So it's classic Epcot. It's a combination of entertainment and education, which was Epcot. The vision for Epcot was all about being entertained and educated at the same time. And plus, all right, here's my pitch for it, right? Here is how I would sell it that they need to do it. You have new intellectual property that fits perfectly. Inside Out, mm-hmm. right? Inside Out is a movie all about these great characters being inside this little girl's head and helping control her through her, you know, difficult adolescence, which was Cranium Command to a T.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm all for bring this back, figure out a way to incorporate the new intellectual property. And again, I've already said, I love park IP. Like, IP that is specific to the park, that is my thing. But if you're going to bring in movie IP to make it more marketable, I'm all for that. And here's just the perfect fit. So I see no reason to do this. I say go for it.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I'd have to add to that is we both, separately from our childhoods, have memories of our dads who are kind of like, buy him the grumpy t-shirt, like the classic grumpy dad in the parks, both loving that attraction. So I don't know if that's just random or if it's kind of a grumpy dad attraction, but I think we need more. We need more attractions for the dad joke, the grumpy dad crowd.
Okay, that's my pitch. I think you got it. New pavilion in Epcot, grumpy dad. It's over air conditioned, so dads are really happy about it. There's churros right inside for a good snack, a quiet dark place to nap, and then this attraction, and we're golden.
Maybe a beer garden.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Okay. And so you said you have something sort of extra
obscure. In fact, so obscure that my Disney fanatic husband was like, "What? What were you wanting to talk about?"
When you mentioned it, I was like, I actually don't know what you're talking about.
So he's an Epcot fan. I loved Hollywood Studios at the time, MGM Studios, when I was younger. And one attraction that I remember thinking was really cool, about sort of the making of movies when it had more of that studio feel, is the Monster Sound Show. And they'd had clips from old monster movies, and they'd actually bring kids up to make, you know, do the floor, the footsteps, and like the lightning and thunder and all those kinds of sound effects. And my final pitch for this, so much has changed. You know, I was talking about not being able to be an animator earlier. So much has changed in the making of movies, but Rob and I were just watching the making of Frozen 2 documentaries. You can see with the pandemic and the quarantine, we've watched a lot of documentaries on Disney Plus recently. And with all of the newfangled computer animating technology, they still had people come in like banging shoes on bricks and stuff to do the sound effects. So much is different. And yet this, you know, kind of adding the sound in is the same. I think that's something they could really feature, a bit of old and new Hollywood at the same time. Maybe tie it into the Zenimation and have them do the clips from the, you know, animated Disney movies in addition to the old monster movies. But that's an attraction I remember liking. And I think I was called up to do one of the sound effects one of our trips when I was little. So maybe that's why great. I have extra good feelings about it. But that's, you know, a super, super obscure one that I wouldn't mind seeing again.
So two additional plugs there. Making a Frozen 2, great documentary. And Zenimation, if you ever want a very meditative Disney animated experience, that's great. Yeah, I think two things that I really like about that attraction, from having read up on it, because I don't remember it. It was a large show inside that was interactive, air-conditioned, so it ate crowds. Everybody was air-conditioned, and it was interactive, so you weren't just sitting there watching a show. So that's great. And I think MGM, much like Future World and Epcot, is losing its initial spirit a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Ah, it's losing its initial spirit because it's Hollywood and not MGM anymore.
Okay. I'm not really sure where that goes. Yeah. So anyway, what I was saying is that the idea of it being Hollywood, of movie making, all that, you don't see that in the parks as much anymore. And I really feel like that's something they could bring back to Hollywood Studio, which is not MGM anymore.
Yeah.
All right. I want to thank you all for joining us on our first episode of Backseat Imagineering. We had a blast.
Mm-hmm.
If you liked it, go over to Spotify or Apple Podcast or wherever you're listening to this and give us a 5-star review. If you didn't, have a magical day.